So here we are, August. We always begin the month in Columbus, Indiana. Thank you so much again for having us this month. A busy political couple of weeks, just in general. There's a lot going on. I want to start with that recent announcement about the Indiana GOP has a new candidate for governor, Eric Holcomb, running mate Suzanne Crouch. Are you happy with the new candidates?
Well, yeah, I think they'll do fine.
Yeah.
I've had the chance to meet both. Probably know Suzanne a little bit better than Eric, but they both seem like good people, and we'll do what we can to help them.
They, from what I understand, they were Pence appointees in previous positions, seem to come from a Governor Pence background per se. And I know it's early, but it doesn't seem like that there's a shift away from the current Pence administration
Little
in
hard for me
this.
to say. My focus is on Columbus and a little bit less so on the state. I guess I thought Crouch was an elected official, Secretary of State or something like that. But nonetheless, good to have him on board, and we'll see where it goes.
I have to ask you about what's it like to have a Columbus native on the presidential ticket?
The first few weeks it was really kind of interesting. We received several phone calls from people who just wanted a little bit of background information on him, or who were here in town and just trying to seek a little bit better understanding of what Mike had come from. We're glad to be able to help with that. And Columbus is kind of used to having a little bit of notoriety, or at least a little bit of attention. So we're thankful for that, and glad to be able to help.
Here in Columbus, some items that we talked about previously, just wanted to follow up a little bit. I think last time that I was here, I was off last month, but the previous month, you were talking about a policy on abandoned buildings. And this is
Yes.
something we see in every city, and
Yes.
it can be an eyesore, and it can also be dangerous, I would assume, too. Where are you on that, and what are city leaders looking at here in Columbus?
We've got five or six buildings identified that we want to try to move on yet this summer. One is a little bit further along than the others. But one of the things that we've tried to do this year to sort of address some of the issues we've had in the past is to reach out for some judicial oversight. We want to be able to take our process and our steps and take them in front of a judge and have some confirmation that the process we're following is legitimate, it's within the confines of the law, and that not only do we have a good process, but that we have followed the process. So that we've got the documentation that we need to indicate that yeah, it's appropriate for us to go ahead and in effect, what amounts to seizure of some property and demolition of it. But we've got a few structures here in town that really do need to go. I mean, they're just well beyond the opportunity for salvation. And so we're trying to move on that, and hopefully we'll have something to show for it here within the next couple of months. Adding the judicial review takes a little bit longer, but it makes us feel a little bit more comfortable about the end result. So that's why we pursued it.
This month, too, the human rights lawsuit that was filed with Columbus, a few other cities, Bloomington, Carmel, I think Indy,
Yes.
too, that stemmed from the LGBT legislation scheduled to begin. Do you know where that is in that process?
Well, better question for the city attorney, but we're scheduled for oral arguments, I want to say August 16th. There have been some filings by our side, the four communities. There have been a response from the plaintiff. I think the next step or the next item up is the oral arguments on August 16th. That'll be it's the Hamilton County Courthouse, which I believe is in Noblesville. So, I right now plan to be there, but we'll see. We'll look forward to defending the ordinance that we've got, and it'll be interesting to see the arguments that the other side and the other communities make as well.
And just a brief recap, can you give us an update on that ordinance and your stance on the lawsuit?
Well, the ordinance says, been on the books now for, I don't know, a year perhaps, and we've had no issues with it. I mean, nobody has brought a complaint or complained about it in any fashion, but it's our intention to defend this. I mean, we think it was the right thing to do when we did it. It was unanimously passed by a Republican city council, which is surprising to some folks, but yeah, we intend to defend this and look forward to the opportunity to do so starting August 16th.
I see a new report from the Republic, the new designs for I-65 south of Columbus. Then I was kind of browsing through and saw a State Road 46 bridge to reopen, a new roundabout perhaps in the works. Always road news to talk about. Well, what can you give residents an update on?
Yeah, well, those particular projects are outside the city. You know, the State Road 46 bridge that they talked about is on the east side in the county, outside city limits. The improvements that they talk about for I-65, I think, are long overdue. I mean, it's just not hard to follow the media and see once a month, you know, a fatality or some kind of serious accident, particularly on the stretch that they're talking about between State Road 58 south to US 50 in Seymour. So it'll be pretty welcome change. I'm just hopeful that they can move expeditiously. I mean, I think we're probably a couple of years away from, you know, any construction work out there, but it's long overdue, yeah.
And then how about here in the city itself?
In the city itself, we've got a couple of road projects underway. The one that people are probably most familiar with, if you live in the area, is Rocky Ford Road from Taylor out to Tally. You know, that section's going to be rebuilt. It's a, you know, a standard old country lane right now with 10 or 11 foot lanes, and that'll be widened and, you know, some pedestrian passageway put in the middle. It'll become three-lane road. We're hopeful that we can get some construction work started on the State Street improvements. We've talked about phase one, which is addition of some pedestrian and bicycle pathways to the bridge, the State Street bridge that goes over the Hawk Creek. And that those improvements will continue east out to Indiana Avenue. And we're hopeful that we can get that portion started yet this year. We've gotten our permits from the Department of Natural Resources. Anytime you go over water, whether you touch the water or not, you need a permit from those folks. We had thought that might take 6 or 7 months to receive, and we got that about a month ago. So now what we need to do is to supply 95% drawings, is the phrase they use, 95% drawings to the Indiana Department of Transportation, because it's a state highway. But we anticipate a pretty quick turnaround with those, and then we'll have to submit drawings out to contractors to go through the bid process. But hopefully things come together on schedule. We'll turn some dirt here yet this year.
I see the city offered two open houses on a transportation plan. One is actually happening now.
Downstairs.
As we talk. This is long-term planning, is that right?
Yes.
And I assume like any growing city, you know, if the infrastructure doesn't keep up with the growing city, then it can fall behind and then you have a lot of traffic problems.
Yeah, you're basically trying to figure out what the city might look like 20 years from now. And if that's the case, then where ought we put the arterial roads, where ought we put the sewage collectors and the main water mains and that kind of thing. So, you know, what we're trying to do is solicit some opinion from citizens as to where they think the city's growth ought to occur, whether it's on the east side or on the west side, and maybe a little bit to the north. We don't talk too much about the south because the ground gets a little low down there and it's prone to flooding, but those other areas are available to us, and we're just interested in seeing what people have to think or have to say, because their thoughts are usually insightful, and we're, you know, so we seek them out.
The Republic had a nice story on the $750,000 grant program to the Bartholomew Consolidated School Corporation from the city, funding three programs for economic development. And I remember you talked about this as one of your points of your campaign points of education, and how it's important to keeping Columbus in terms of an economic development standpoint. This is a big one.
Well, it is. As a city, there are several things that you sell to employers or prospective employers. I mean, you want to sell good infrastructure. We need to have roads. If they're a user of water, we need to have a significant water supply and wastewater at the same time. Some people also want access to an airport, and so we've got several of the infrastructure items in place. But we've heard a lot recently about skilled workforce, you know, and in particular the availability of a skilled workforce. And so part of what we're trying to do with this money is to take a little bit of the workforce we've got and skill up, you know, give them a little bit more ability so that they might be able to fulfill some of the job openings that some of the employers talk to us about. So, you know, we've approached the school system, you know, about a partnership with them to pursue science, technology, engineering, and math. The iGrad program, which is designed to keep kids who are at risk in school a little bit longer, get them to graduation, and then transitional training, which takes those students who may be a little bit developmentally disabled or a little developmentally challenged and help them through the system so that they can become a potential employee for one of these places as well. So we're pretty excited about it, and it kicked off July 1, so we'll get some results back in about a year, and we'll see how it's gone. We're looking forward to it.
And that was something that I found interesting too, is that the school is already looking for ways to measure the progress so that they can hopefully reapply for it and say, hey, here's what this money did.
Right.
That's pretty important too.
Yeah, the Redevelopment Commission and the City Council made it clear to the schools that, yeah, we need some measurable results. We're just not gonna, you know, hope that things turn out. And so they're keyed, or they're ready, you know, to provide that data to us.
And did that money come from a certain budget item, or was that something that came from a certain tax?
We call it the Central TIF, the Downtown TIF. Yeah, Tax Increment Financing District. It's a mouthful. Yeah, but that's where the money comes from. And we're allowed to allocate up to 15% of the revenues from that fund for purposes such as this. And the number that we've got here approximates 10%. So, you know, we wanted to be a little careful in terms of the amount that we set aside. So we didn't deplete all the resources that we had. So I feel comfortable about it. Yeah.
What else is on the mayor's desk these days?
Oh, golly, well,
the dog days of summer.
Chickens. They're not dog days, they're chicken days. You know, we've got a little bit of an issue here in town. Over the last 12 months, our code enforcement officer has received about 146 complaints about chickens. And I guess you could say these are free-range chickens that just won't stay home. They get into the neighbors' yards, and so it's just not exactly the kind of neighborly activity that we need. But lo and behold, when we searched through the city ordinances, we found there was no easy way to enforce chicken harboring or the keeping of chickens. And so we have embarked upon an effort to do that. We've taken a look at the ordinances that other communities have and the approaches that other communities have taken with respect to chickens, because backyard chicken farming is among some people pretty popular. But there are other folks at the same time who harbor some concerns about that. And we want to address those too. So we're trying to come up with a set of rules that will be enforceable, number one, something that we can point to that people need to do, and will allow us to enforce, you know, what we might consider to be excessive numbers of chickens or an unwillingness on some people's part to keep them cooped up. So, you know, that's taken a little bit of our time. It will probably last until whatever the first City Council meeting is in October, I want to say the 4th. So that's taken some of our time. We're spending a fair amount of time too taking a look at some of the concerns that the African American community has here in Columbus. We have had for well over 20 years a citizens review committee that takes a look at complaints that have been lodged against the police department, and so we're going to try to rethink that process a little bit. Again, we'll take a look at what some other communities are doing and try to come up with a model that, you know, works for us, but, you know, emulates some of the successful activities other places. You know, at the end of the day, we're 45,000 people and we don't have quite the budget that some of these larger communities have, but I think there are some things we can learn, you know, and so we're going to try to bring those to us. Other things that we're dealing with, again, we continue to talk about some of the projects we've discussed in prior meetings. We've received the traffic counts back for the railroad crossings, but you know, anybody who's ever received a sheaf of information from an engineer knows what we're looking at, and so we've got a meeting scheduled August 11th for them to explain to us the information that they sent to us. We're also taking a look at the Walesboro flood study. We've got an appeal underway with the Department of Natural Resources to see if we can't get a good portion of that exempted from their flood map. And then the riverfront. We have, I'm trying to remember, I'm drawing a blank on the next meeting date, but the same idea there is to try to develop what we have into a meaningful recreational opportunity, something that's got some aesthetic appeal to it.
The chicken ordinance, I remember that made a lot of news back in June. I think you had a full city hall too.
Oh, yeah.
It really generated a lot of interest.
Yeah.
But any type of ordinance was pretty much pushed back to the October. Is that true?
Any ordinance has to be passed twice. Okay, so the ordinance, there was an ordinance passed on the first reading that would ban chickens from the city of Columbus. And the council, when it came time for the second reading, the council decided to take a step back from that, tabled the motion to October 4th, or whatever that first meeting date is in October, to give us an opportunity to talk a little bit more. We want to make sure that we've adequately listened to both sides of the issue, because there are several people in our community who think that zero is the right answer, and there are others who think that there should be no limits whatsoever. So obviously we're going to have to find some kind of a compromise somewhere in between, and at the same time, if we're going to allow any chicken to have some rules with respect to how they're kept and how they're confined and so on and so forth.
And summertime still, but just what, a week or so before school starts?
I think school started yesterday.
Did
or today.
It already?
I mean, it's funny how these things work, but our kids, my wife and I have two kids, but they're, well beyond college at this point. So we've become a little detached from the school calendar, and I really couldn't tell you. But there was an article in the newspaper today about the start of football practice. So, if school hasn't started yet, it's going to start here in a day or so. But one of the things we have done is taken a look at some of the crossings that are near our schools, and we've got some federal money that will allow us to improve the signaling. And this would be an opportunity for us to have, a little button, nearby at about waist height that students can press as they're prepared to cross either to or from school. In general, it's a pretty safe process, but we have had at East High School, a couple of incidents. There's a crosswalk that crosses Mar Road that goes from the school to the athletic fields. And we've had at least two collisions there between a car and a student. And so we'd prefer to have that be zero. So part of what we thought we'd do would be to improve the signaling there. And we'll install something called a hawk signal. We will install a signal that flashes in a manner that you can't miss. It'll be a pretty visible, bright red light, and it'll flash in an irregular pattern. So, we think that it'll do a better job of trying to attract motorists, or at least to, get them to focus on what may be in the crosswalk. Yeah. So we've got a couple of those. I'd say three or four of those going on right now around town. And we had hoped to have those ready for the first day of school, but it looks like it's going to be the end of this week before they're really completed.